everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome
Hello.
To
Hi. Hi.
What the Fiction.
Hi. It's just all of us from different universes saying hi.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hi.
We're going to do a quick introduction around the table across me starting. I'm Marie Claire. This is What the Fiction. And we have...
Hi. I'm alternate dimension Robin here to podcast as other Robin did not want to. next to me is...
Thank you, Robin 818 for... Or 837?
839?
Something like that. For coming over today.
This is
Kyle.
5753.
Husband of What the Fiction. Father of Tavern Tales Jr. And tired old man.
Hi, I'm like? Will. I'm from Earth 616. It's pretty crazy over there. I actually saw the movie firsthand. I was actually in that universe.
You saw everything happen?
Yeah, so yeah I kind of have some experience.
Here
I love it.
The real life repertoire.
So, general impressions. Who wants to go first?
I can definitely see the horror influence on the movie. I really like that too. I wish it leaned into it a little bit more because it definitely like touched on it, but like he was like, oh, we could do horror, except I'm gonna just stay a little bit away. Like,
so the director that directed this also directed Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire
and horror... Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire
and
Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire.
He did the first
really
three?
Spider-Man 3.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so I probably knew that. I'm just tired. But he also did a horror trilogy called the Evil Dead trilogy.
Or Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of that horror in Sam Raimi's vision, and he always includes Bruce Campbell in all of his movies, which you recognized, of course, from the Pizza Ball Man? Pizza Pop Man?
Pizza Ball.
Pizza Ball, yeah. So you wish there had been more horror?
I wish it, like, because it was going the horror route, but then it, like, straight away to give it, like, an actual happy ending.
Ah, okay.
It could have leaned in a little bit more, I think, but it's fine overall.
Okay. And you, small boy.
Oh, it's pretty good. And I just got a little bit afraid because of the jump scares.
You felt like there was too many jump scares.
Yeah, there was like 15. I know, I was just like, please stop the jump scares, especially to do with Wanda.
Yeah, they made her very horror-esque.
I think that was warranted, though. I feel like sometimes you were watching it and you had trouble remembering why she was doing it, even though they definitely didn't make her seem just evil without any intent. It was just very hard to follow her motives the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Like, sometimes you're just like, so extreme.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle?
Oh, man.
Dad cried.
Overall impression, I hated it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
It did exactly the same things that it did in Spider-Man No Way Home. They just kept so many issues with the storytelling.
Yeah.
In this movie. And while there are many redeemable qualities to it, I found it so frustrating time and again. They keep asking Dr. Stephen Strange, are you happy? They asked him that at the very beginning of the movie at the wedding. And then they waited an hour and a half to ask us that question again. And I looked over at Will and I was like, that's an important question. And then they literally nail us over the head with that question like 7 more times at the end of the movie. Like, this is important. We want to make sure Dr. Stephen Strange is happy. But other than him asking Wong kind of rhetorically that question, nobody asks that question of anybody else, especially Wanda.
Right.
Obvious Wanda isn't happy.
Yeah.
But we're more concerned about Dr. Stephen Strange.
But this movie isn't about Dr. Strange. It's about Wanda.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
what?
It is, but it is. And that gets into my thing, unless you're done, not done.
So just my overall impression is there's a big monumental shift that happens partway through the movie. I don't get it. It offered some really cool moments and the really fun and interesting scene. But I think that they could have done things a heck of a lot more differently. And way too many people died.
Yeah, there was a lot of death.
So what are your overall impressions?
So I'd heard a lot about this movie on the internet beforehand because we were originally planning on going and seeing it opening day. And I came down with COVID and was not able to go as planned. And so this was the earliest time that we could actually go and see the movie. And so like... I knew a lot going into it, but I really tried to not let that color me. And I know a lot of people that I had spoken with were really there for Wanda's story, but the story is framed entirely from what is Doctor Strange missing? Entirely, right? So he's getting himself prepped for a wedding. He's not even the Sorcerer Supreme anymore. He doesn't have really any of the things that he thought he would want.
Like, so wait, did you like this movie or not?
I feel literally it was a movie. That's no, like, and I say that because like I feel the same way about Army of Darkness and about Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, which...
The only movie I don't feel the same about is Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, Spider-Man 3 is the best
and the worst movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But like, I feel like I watched it. Do I feel like any reason to be inspired to be like, I gotta see that again because it's speaking to me fundamentally on a level? And no, I don't. I feel like I've seen all I need to see from this movie and I get it, which is, okay, Doctor Strange is going through a midlife crisis where things are not going the way that he wants.
I feel like we got all of this pain from Doctor Strange in the What If episode.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't need to see a movie that recapped that What If episode.
Yeah, to be fair, that What If episode kind of did it better in that he was a villain in it, and we got to see all of the bad Doctor Strangeness that he could possibly go through. But really, so the question that he is trying to answer for himself is, well, you're at this point and you haven't achieved the things that you wanted to. You're not Sorcerer Supreme. You're no longer a surgeon extraordinaire. You're no longer the top of whatever field you've invested your heart and soul into. And you no longer have the opportunity with the person that you absolutely love. And so it's like there's this idea of grief towards your former self. And so he gets to experience this loss through watching Wanda become this bad person for the life that she never really had to begin with, because WandaVision was all in her head. And I have lots of thoughts to say about how women's grief is treated in this and how it is a common thing. But if we look at it from a Doctor Strange only perspective, the movie is fine. Unfortunately, Wanda's story is very compelling. The movie was fine. I don't think that it's a stellar Marvel movie, and I don't think that it's a stellar movie.
I feel like this movie would have been better if it wasn't a Doctor Strange movie. I feel like it would have been better if it was a Wanda movie, or if it was about the Scarlet Witch, but it's not, and it instead feels like what they're doing is putting Wanda in a movie that should be about her, but the director is focusing on Doctor Strange instead, which feels weird and off-putting.
It would even be better if it was just like America's movie, because like that just feels...
And the America stuff, there feels like three things going on, and only really one of them is... If they focused on the Wanda storytelling, the America storyline and this Doctor Strange storyline would make sense, but they only focused on the Doctor Strange storyline and had him looking at Wanda, and it instead felt weird. And
I never see anything from Wanda's perspective, except...
At the very end.
when she goes all, I'm the camera, I'm spooky, I'm tracking myself, I'm right. a bad guy, I'm going to capture my own body
yeah.
and take control of it for my own purposes.
I think we see a bit when she has that moment with her, like that other universe's self and as well.
I wish she said something else.
Then
they'll be taken care of.
They'll be taken care of?
Yeah. Or they'll be yeah. loved or whatever yeah. it was that she
yeah, they'll be loved.
Spit out at her dark self. I had some major issues
yeah.
with this movie from the same perspective that you had, where you're like, I wish she'd said something else. I'm like, I just wish they'd done something else.
Yeah.
They go on and on about the Book of the Ashanti. They spend half the movie running around for one Book of the Ashanti, and it just gets eviscerated like it was a red herring, because the true way to power was from the Darkhold all along. And it's like, then why did you introduce us to this Book of the Ashanti? What was the purpose of that other than to give us nothing for an hour and then take that away from us? And then, to top it all off, it's just a metaphor for the whole goddamn movie.
Yeah.
There is no path to the light. There is only darkness. Guess what? Wondergore Mountain is your grave. Crash.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought for a brief moment that things might be different. Because I looked over at Will. There's that moment in the movie where Wong and Wanda are at Wondergore Mountain. And they hear those rocks crackle and crack. And they both turn and go, what was that? Nothing ever came of that.
Yep.
What was that? Was somebody else there? Was something else going on? I thought, okay, maybe they'll reveal that at the end credit.
Wasn't that just the creatures that were approaching?
No. What was that?
I think it's the creatures.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that all we can get from this is that, but it did not in...
Like, also the creatures were entirely pointless.
Yeah, that's true. They were very... They did a jump scare, which was one of Will's 15 jump scares. They served as a threat, but also as a marker to the prestige of the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Also,
Who built that temple?
The Scarlet...
Oh, okay.
The Scarlet Witch thing, that whole, like, you are the Scarlet Witch. I had this, like, moment in my head the entire time. I was like, but that's not Wanda, though. Like, this can't be predicting who Wanda is. This is Wanda fulfilling what she thinks she is now in order to get what she actually wants.
Mm-hmm.
And she's neither. Mm-hmm. She's not what she wants, and she's not what she's accepted she is.
Yeah. She is a sliced up person who hasn't accepted maybe all of the different things that have happened to her.
I wish it, like when Dr. Xavier, which he came out of nowhere, like
yeah, but you know you knew who he was.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, because
you've seen X-Men, right?
Like a movie.
Yeah.
But he just came out of nowhere. He's just like, hi. Anyway, the moment with the other one to Maximoff. I thought that was going to be about, like, you saw the TV. I thought that was going to be about, like, him healing Wanda from the inside. Or just for, like, even just for a second, like, seeing her problems and then being like, oh no, I'm destroyed. Like, I thought we were going to get some address of, like, yeah, dead brother, dead mom, dead dad, just...
Dead children that felt real for you.
Dead children. Dead husband.
Husband? What? Like, where was Vision in any of these other problems with that?
Like, he just... Also, the kids didn't yell out, like, where's dad? There's nothing. Just no photos of dad. No Vision.
Also, it's just like, White Vision, yeah, that was a plot point in Water Vision at the very end. And then he's just like, peace, I'm going to never show up ever again.
I'm certain Vision is going to come around and then be like, where's my wife? And they're going to be like, oh, she buried herself under Wondergore Mountain. And he'll be like, why? And then they'll say, oh, yeah, she couldn't deal with the fact that she had these two imaginary kids. And so she killed herself. And they'll be like, and you didn't talk her through this?
Like, you didn't help
her? You were supposed to be her friend.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be like,
But it'll end up being just Vision goes to the mountain, has this moment, and then it's never talked about again.
Well, maybe.
Like, or,
Yeah.
I just don't know where Marvel's going with this. Why?
The Illuminati are like, it's too late for anyone who chooses the wrong path. And Xavier's like, you know what? Now that those assholes have left the room, now that those jerks have left the room, actually, my truth is, it's never too late. And I cried at that moment. I was like,
that was my moment.
What? Oh my God, this is amazing. But in the end, what pisses me off is that you can only turn back from the light by sacrificing yourself, which is...
Strange didn't sacrifice himself.
Strange didn't do anything evil in the eyes of the universe.
Well, technically he did. He's got the third eye and the Darkhold has a power over him.
Okay.
So we can get to that. But he was still given the opportunity to turn back.
Yeah.
And take the...
Why can't we just have a Wanda therapy moment? I thought when other Wanda was there, it was going to be like... I thought she was going to look up and see like a maternal figure. Like maybe there would be like a moment where she was like thinking of a maternal figure she never had. Or maybe... So many other things would have happened.
I mean, I think
like I forgive
what,
you.
This
like,
is what they're gonna do with. This is what they're gonna do. I think with the Agatha Harkness TV show.
One can
maybe
only hope. I will tell to Robin's point. In the comics, there is that figure. That figure does appear. It's actually older Wanda.
Interesting.
Wanda can't really die.
Yeah,
because she is a nexus to this reality.
She is like
and.
Yeah,
because she can't die, she gets to come back in various different forms and ways, which is really fun and interesting.
Which they're not going to do because they don't like women in Marvel.
No, I don't think that's
the
case.
Like Wanda.
Then why are they making TV shows like, why are they making She-Hulk and then Ms. Marvel?
I personally...
At the time when Wanda was created in Marvel, there was a lack of women characters.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
In the movies. You
mean. In the movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in... Okay. I actually do think that they do like Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda. I do think that they like the Scarlet Witch plot that they've put her on.
Then why are they doing this? Then why?
Because it's a larger overall story and... I do think that they really wanted to explore the villain aspect of the Scarlet Witch, which in the comics, she is a villain for a large chunk of it. Not in the Avengers side of the comics, but in the X-Men.
Even the Avengers side of the comics.
Okay. But she does go through these villain arcs, and they wanted to give her a chance to be that villain and have it justifiable, which they did, which... like this ties back to an archetype that is in a lot of folklore of a wailing woman who has lost her children. And that wailing woman, it's often in Mexican mythology and it's by the edge of a river. All of the rivers in Mexico and the lower states that have a large Latinx population have mythos around them that they were all created by a woman, a monstrous woman who has lost her children and has cried so much that it created a river. And you do not go to that river at night because you will be like, you will run into this horrible woman who is grieving her children. And this is what I wanted to talk about, which is that women experiencing these powerful emotions as part of like our overall culture is very scary to a lot of people. Like they don't know how to deal with it. And in and of itself, this story sort of shows that people don't know how to deal with women who are powerful and also have powerful emotions.
Yeah.
And I mean, have passion.
Let's be real. All that's needed is a little compassion.
Yes, exactly. The solution is in the movie.
Also, like, Doctor Strange wasn't the character for this movie, like, at all.
No, because he's a jerk in most of his incarnations.
He really is on his own journey of self-discovery.
Yeah, he's going through his own
thing.
If you
look at the movie from his journey of self-discovery,
okay,
it's great. He recognizes that all these other versions of him continue to be the one who says, I have to do the thing. And in this movie here at the end, he says, I don't have to do the thing. Even Wong tells him, take America's power.
And he's like, I don't want to.
Yeah. And that's great. That's great for you, Doctor Strange. But the Wanda stuff feels so incomplete. And I'm mad. I'm mad because they just killed her.
I agree.
They just killed her.
Do you honestly think that she is dead knowing what Dad just said?
No, not at all. But I'm still mad.
I agree.
I mean, yes.
Because under the context of this movie, and if this is the only movie we watch.
Yes, she is dead. Yes.
They killed her.
No, you're right to feel mad. I am also mad with how they treated her because it's kind of like saying, hey, you've gone through a really rough time. You're experiencing like depression or, oh, like the Darkhold, substance abuse, right? Substance abuse. You are not valuable to exist. That is the lesson of this freaking like, you're not allowed to come back from that and be loved and be accepted, even though Dr. Xavier says, it's okay. You always have other opportunities to come back. That makes me sad that that wasn't in the movie other than death by sacrifice, right? So, like, redemption by sacrifice.
For her.
For her.
It's there for Strange.
It's there for Strange. It's not there for women. That's...
Well, it's... I mean, America Chavez gets to...
She never does anything wrong.
She gets to realize her power. She does a lot of things wrong.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
And she learns control, and she's growing and developing by the end.
America was introduced in the movie, so her arc is not complete. But for Wanda, this arc from, like, the beginning of Ultron, which was a long time ago, until through WandaVision, through all the other movies, till now, it feels complete, and it also feels dissatisfying because they basically ripped her off. You have a bunch of trauma. Here you go, here you go, here's more trauma. Well, also, we're not going to give you therapy.
You're exactly right. Age of Ultron, she's a bad guy.
Yep.
And then gains redemption at the end and is working on it. Then very next movie that she's in, she blows up the Nigerian council and is blamed for that and then carries that with her and is essentially feeling like a bad guy the entirety of the movie. Then we get WandaVision where she is the bad guy and she's working through her grief and realizes, okay, I have to process this, and then uses the Darkhold to process it, and then they literally throw her in as the bad guy again. I'm just kind of tired of this constant trope of Wanda being the bad guy and not managing to find redemption.
And I don't know that she needs to be redemed.
Nope.
I think that's pretty clear. She
just killed a whole ton of people.
I understand that.
Okay.
I understand that. But so has every other Avenger.
I mean...
Like, every other Avenger is just like, I killed a ton of people and nobody cares.
I really don't think Captain America's killed a lot of people.
He killed himself.
I mean, he was part of a war and he killed a bunch of Hydra people. I mean, they were on... I'm not gonna argue morality in a world where it's obvious that we... Like exactly what she says, which is like you do something for your whatever reasons and it's considered to be good. And I do things for my reasons and it's considered to be bad.
Why?
Because it's the reasons.
Why do you think I said, women, Marvel don't like women?
Okay. They have still come back to this Book of the Ashanti, which you get the Book of the Ashanti and it'll give you what you need.
Yeah, which is a red herring. There is never what you need out there. Apparently, this movie is very nihilistic.
Why do you like
only have darkness and you just have to deal with it?
This just feels like a red herring. They're going to be like, yeah, the next movie is totally going to be Fantastic Four. And then it's not going to be Fantastic Four.
Well, that's already been announced. So Fantastic Four is coming.
I'm just like, where's the Fantastic Four? Please get over your like weird movie spiral.
I first thought you were going to say like, hey, you know what? This movie... is great, but it's just leading up to this even better movie, and they just keep doing that to us and over and over.
They're repurposing Jack Gyllenhaal from Mysterio to the Fantastic Four.
That wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal. It was John Krasinski. But John Krasinski's already been in MCU.
Right. You're very funny with your office jokes.
What?
Having never seen The Office.
Oh, sorry.
He looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Does he? Really?
That's what I thought it was.
He is so much taller than Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
so
Jake Gyllenhaal is very short. Yeah.
I don't know, okay?
So
it was so cool seeing Captain Carter. I love Captain Carter.
Yeah, that was cool.
Not fun watching Captain Carter die. That wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Like, what are you even...
Yeah, we're just going to kill these cool characters.
You're just like,
kill Xavier.
Snap Xavier's neck.
Kill kill Black Bolt, which, like, we tried...
The TV show already did that.
I know. We tried to watch... killed our souls as well.
Literally, Wanda just pulled out the gun and then just went, all these cool characters, bang, 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 bang. And then also add some sprinkle of regret because they don't have Tony Stark.
They've basically said that Wanda as the Scarlet Witch is too powerful to exist with other characters.
Yeah.
That's what they've said in some ways.
I also feel like they made her like insanely powerful, which was like,
they did.
Sure, she's powerful, Westview, but also that doesn't make a lot of sense because everyone else collectively was struggling to keep up with her. And like, she's being slowed down by all of her sadness.
Yeah.
What is her power if she's actually in a good mindset? Like, or is her pain her only motivator and she does not have power otherwise?
Probably what other Wanda's power is, just like tenfold.
What a weird movie. I will say it was visually beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
Like, it was so cool. When he went up the stairs
to
meet,
like,
his ascended self with the red half moon there in a world of that had collided and was falling apart. Then he saw this epitome.
The musical fight, which I didn't fully understand, but it was cool.
Oh, I think that was just there because they had Danny Elfman and they were like, what if we gave Danny Elfman a musical fight where they were fighting with music? And Danny Elfman was like, you've got it.
They just need a musical super.
I mean, really pretty, really cool. Didn't make a lot of sense, but I could understand it.
I liked all of the weirdness about the movie, like the fact that he made a unrested soul cape out of the attacking souls. I loved the music fight. I loved like the paint world that they went through.
The attacking souls thing, that was like you can harness your pain. And yet in the same vein, it hurts Wanda and the souls are like attacking Wanda and she can't utilize her pain. She's unredeemable.
I was just like, what does this have to do with the first Doctor Strange movie? Other than a reference to the pain in his hands and like,
I just
small nooks and crannies.
I like the first Doctor Strange so much more.
He's been through a lot since the first Doctor Strange movie.
I know.
Right? And I think that part of it is also his, they did touch on it, is that he is still dealing with the fact that the only viable choice that he had that he could come up with was the death of half of the entire world.
Yeah.
And including himself, gone for 5 years. And then they have the gall, these people who still got to live, the survivors, because they only have their own perspective to look at, they have the gall to tell Dr. Stephen Strange while they're sitting at a wedding pew. Yeah, so just so you know, because you did that, there was no other choices. You killed both my cats. And my brother died and I never got to say goodbye because I was disappeared for 5 years.
Yeah.
Which was, and by the way, because you were gone for 5 years, that lady over there found somebody else and she's marrying him. Like, wow. That was heartless.
I have a lot of thoughts on that scene. I have a lot of thoughts on that scene.
And then they're like, yeah, you get a special place in the credits.
He did get a special place in the credits.
You don't deserve that place, sir. Get out. Get out.
I thought he was going to a funeral when he showed up.
Same, yeah. Same.
When he was dressed up in his suit, I was like, he's dressed for a funeral. He shows up.
Who does? His expression.
And he shows up at the wedding, and it's because it is, in his spirit, a funeral for the lost relationship love. And the lost love. And so it's like, it was really interestingly paired with all of this grief that he is still processing and the wedding. And weddings and funerals, weddings are an end of an old life. Either way, for the fact that you're not with that person or the idea that you're now together and with a new person, it is you in some ways have to have a chance to grieve your old life. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, okay, Strange.
Microphone.
Yeah, but like, okay, Strange, you're grieving. That's cool. I just deal with it on your own time.
No, he dealt with it with like looking at what Wanda had become with all of the what if it's, in her mind.
It's not fair.
No, I know it's not fair. It isn't fair. It isn't fair to think that she doesn't get to have the happy ending we want for her. It also isn't fair.
And yet Mr. Bro over here gets to meet alternate universe Christine and like apologize and have that moment and then like let her go.
You know, also the entire plot of Spider-Man literally doesn't make sense now because Doctor Strange casts a spell that it was like everyone forgets who Spider-Man is except me.
he forgot too.
No, they brought up Spider-Man. No,
he literally said, I saved Spider-Man.
Well, no, he remembered
that. He remembers Spider-Man.
But he doesn't know who Spider-Man is.
And that's why they said, and that's why it was America Chavez, who is the only one and has been to a bajillion other multiverses, goes, I don't know who you're talking about.
Right. Because he wiped it out everywhere.
Because he's gone from every multiverse. No one knows who Spider-Man is. Nobody knows Spider-Man.
I'm just like, where's the next Spider-Man movie? He needs to grieve.
For a company that's all about joy and wonder in life, they sure are making movies that are telling us that nothing really matters and there is only pain.
It's a lot of nihilism.
Why?
It's wild.
I don't know either. It's really frustrating. Why? I want to go to the movies and come away having learned something or having had a great, wonderful, and enchanting and exciting experience.
You know what?
Or like, ideally, both.
I watched Sonic 2 with my brother, and I left the movie being like, this is good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Sonic 3. I leave a Marvel movie going, why did I watch this? I am in pain.
Robin, I literally want to watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers just because ugly Sonic is in it.
Oh, God. Okay.
I know.
Can I ask a question for the table?
Yes.
What did you think of the line, you have to be the one holding the knife? Because it was repeated multiple times.
Because
that,
like,
that and the are you happy line.
Those are the two. They go hand in hand.
Yes, hand and knife. Yes. I just want to
understand what that meant.
He was a surgeon.
Yeah.
And so he was the one who has to do the cutting to save the person. Mm-hmm. So he has to be the one operating. He has to be the subject of the sentence. He has to be the controlling animus.
So when Christine said that, was like, I respect that it's about you, but also I didn't like you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he like, always has to be the hero.
He always had to be the hero. And he literally left her wedding to be a hero, taking away from her day. And I was like, I'm like, you don't really have a choice, but it was the punctuation point on her point was that like you have to be the one who is in the spotlight and I can't be the one in the spotlight. And yet she had a moment with him, with her alternative self, where he was able to kind of confront that and understand. And that was, and this is where I actually felt like they made a really good point. This is why he was able to bow to Wong at the end out of respect, because he finally respected Wong for taking on the responsibility of being Sorcerer Supreme and letting that go, letting that piece of him that had to be the one holding the knife. I actually felt like that was really well done because that was the through line of the whole movie.
Yep.
Wonderful. Doctor Strange got healing. I'm still mad.
I mean, I think it's fair to be mad and be like, Wanda deserves to have joy. She deserves to have her vision back, even if it's white vision. Whatever. They said they would meet each other again in WandaVision. They will meet each other again. And you know what? She's going to get Billy and Tommy back. This is my demands of the MCU.
You can't beat someone down.
Also, allow people to flipping remember Spider-Man. It's just sad.
Upset about this. It's been months.
If you've never watched the Spider-Man A New Way Home, and then you watched this movie back to back, you would just be like, I'm just gonna go cry a river.
This was back to back in the release order. This is literally back to back.
Yeah.
Yep. People will be watching this and people will be like, the world is very sad now. There's a woman I follow on Twitter, and literally every single day for the last 3 weeks, she has pointed, nobody remembers who Peter Parker is, with like crying emojis, mm-hmm. like every single day, because she's still like processing the fact that he literally lost everything. And we empathize with these characters. These characters,
they can't keep beating characters down and then give us nothing. Just, this is pain. Your life sucks. These characters who you empathize with's lives suck. Just go suck.
Literally. Like, literally, Marvel is a company with a fly swatter, and then all their characters are the flies, and then all the characters that they want with Grieve, they just hit, and it feels like they got three fly swatters, and they just started hitting Doctor Strange, Wanda, and flipping Spider-Man over and over again.
And like, although Thor Ragnarok had a lot of grief in it, it also had hope at the end, which was immediately smacked down in Endgame. But like, still, like, I have hope for
Thor Ragnarok was really good, because it was like,
yeah,
Loki, you're not a bad guy, we love you. Thor, we understand. Character we've never met before, your grief is also valid. Everyone is valid, and we love you, and we understand. Oh, also Endgame.
And then Thor Love and Thunder just feels like Thor is actually able to get coping mechanisms.
Is he going to go be healthy and mentally able to deal with things?
And then he also gets to hang out with Rockman.
So we've had 4 movies in Phase 4 right now.
Yes.
Shang-Chi. Mm-hmm. Eternals.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Why are they all about grief? Why are they all about grief?
Great question. Also, Phase 4 is also about dealing with the other aspects of yourself that you have not dealt with. That they're all, every single
and about the multiverse.
Yeah, but that's what the multiverse is. The multiverse is a chance for you to take the different segmented versions of yourself, collect them together. And they deal with these stories as large arcs. And so there probably won't be an answer, a satisfactory answer to dealing with the broken, not integrated aspects of yourself until closer to the end of Phase 4.
Can I?
It's gonna get weird.
Yeah.
Can I not be pain?
I mean,
I'm gonna go watch Winter Soldier.
This is all.
I'm gonna go watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and then back to back, I'm gonna watch all of the Captain America movies, because those are just like really good movies and they're not sad.
Well, do you want some details on stuff that you may not have understood in the movie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do want to make one point.
Sure.
I need them to care about their television shows, which are exceptional, because it feels like they didn't incorporate WandaVision into the storytelling. And I fear for Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Captain America 4.
And Loki.
And that they're just going to ignore Falcon and the Winter Soldier
and Loki and Thor Wonder and Thor Love and Thunder Loki.
Yeah, like I just worry like they're telling these TV shows that then they kind of wipe out.
You reminded me that Loki's dead.
But he's not dead.
He's not dead. He's alive.
But like,
he's dead, but he's not dead. But
he's still 616 Loki.
He's still 616 Loki.
Right? He's not okay. Dead. 616 Loki is still alive.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Forgot.
Okay, let's talk about some stuff.
I just want them to care and make sure that they're not...
Who do you want to care?
The creators of this...
They're not listening to this.
I know. I'm putting this out there.
If they are, Sam Raimi, what did you do?
Why? grabs my throat, shakes.
Ask your wife if she liked this movie, Mr.
Yeah.
Regret.
That's all I have to say about that. So...
Regret.
On top of that, though, there's some things you didn't catch. One is C'thon, which they've finally named, going to lead some of the longtime listeners of What the Fiction to extreme delight and joy. The most extreme delight and joy. What?
Who C'thon.
Exactly. Who is C'thon? C'thon is the first demon. C'thon is the one who created the Darkhold by way of putting these spells into his castle at Wondergore Mountain. C'thon is possibly connected to Shang-Chi and that demon devil creature that was behind the seal that they defeated at the end of that movie. Now, I'm just connecting those two things together because they weren't really named.
Right.
But they did put a lot of attention.
I mean, Wong was in that movie, so.
And they put also Yak Man in that. Mm. And he was there at Kamar-Taj.
Mm-hmm.
So K'thon is relevant because K'thon brings a whole bunch of power to the world at large and is a controlling bad guy that makes you deal with, you know, power that's granted unto you.
Is he related to the like celestials at all? Like,
I have no idea. I honestly don't know enough about
K'thon.
But nonetheless, they've named this archaic demon who is also, I believe, from the Dark Realm.
Okay.
That ties things together because at the very end the first bonus credits that you see.
With Charlize Theron's character showing up, they went to where Dormammu hangs out.
They went to the Dark Realm.
Yeah.
Which, yes, Dormammu is a bad guy in the Dark Realm.
We've come to podcast.
Right?
Yeah, it's
who is that woman? That is Clea Strange, Doctor Strange's wife in the comics. She is the Sorcerer Supreme of the Dark Realm because there are multiple Sorcerer Supremes for each version of reality. Yes, so while there is also the multiverse, there are also different realms as well.
Yeah. I mean, I've been always really confused on how Thor's world and that mythos ties into this. I'm like,
another
what?
Realm.
Why? Yeah. And
it's like layers of a cake. And then there's lots of cakes.
It's like Thor has his different worlds that he's discovered and are noted inside the first Thor movie. And then the Dark World is basically like, yeah, those are like there, but like 70 times. There's like 70 different layers of this cake.
It's a really tall cake.
So not only are there
multiple cakes,
many layers to the cake, is that there is a myriad number of cakes.
Yeah, there's two mirrors on either side of the cake, and they reflect into infinite possibilities.
Yes, all the way to Dark Ray.
Did you have to?
Dark Ray is cool, guys. I don't know what's the problem. The rest of the movie is terrible. Dark Ray is cool.
I'm just like, why does Tross exist? Why did they make money to do this?
I agree. There are some weird decisions being made with a lot of money.
Disney, what are you doing?
That constantly boggle my mind.
Disney, are you going to buy Nintendo yet?
No.
Is anybody left with any hope at the end of this movie?
No.
Everything seems sad.
My hope comes from Thor Love and Thunder.
I literally just want to sit down, watch Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, and then if it's bad, I'm going to cry.
It's not a Marvel movie. Yeah. But I will watch that with you. I'm left with only a small amount of hope in that there will be a Doctor Strange 3.
Yes.
And we'll get to see cool, wonderful adventures. And to go back to the music fight.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is also very good at being extremely perceptive and quick thinking. And he uses artifacts and elements and things around him in different forms and different ways. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him the Sorcerer Supreme, is because he's so quick thinking and on his feet. And I loved the harp moment.
Yeah.
And I would watch that music battle over and over and over again just for how delightful it
was. The music in this movie was really pretty, like even after or even before, I just found myself like, oh, that's a violin.
It was great.
Danny Elfman is goat.
It would be even better if it was like doo 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 doo, or if it was like some other music, because it just sounded like random notes.
Danny Elfman did The Nightmare Before Christmas. And a ton of other stuff. Yeah.
Last, all of the women in the movie had a lot of agency.
Yes.
So I will give it that. Christine, both iterations of Christine, got to have great agency in the choices that they made and the direction that they were going.
Shut up, Strange. They just went.
Can I leave now?
And then Wanda had a great deal of agency, but also alternative universe Wanda also had agency when she was able to pull her way back and confront the dark version of herself.
Yeah.
And then America Chavez, who had who seemed to have lack of agency throughout, showed by Strange in like a Cars 3 sort of style.
Yes.
You take it from here, kiddo. You've got this. Everything that you've done has actually led to this moment. you can do this.
Yeah.
Cars 3 is actually superb.
If only they did that to Wanda, guys.
If only. Right?
Yeah, it feels like they abandon people who are gone too far. You
now,
know?
Where's
and I
Cars
hate
4?
That. I hate that, personally.
Cool. One of the things we get from modern day movie making and filmmaking is we get multiple perspectives. This movie really only shows us Doctor Strange's perspective for the majority of the movie.
Yes.
And as a result, we're supposed to see things from his angle, but we can't help but look at things from Wanda's viewpoint because we got a whole series of WandaVision from her perspective.
Yeah.
So we want to see things from Wanda's viewpoint, and Wanda makes decisions, emotional or otherwise, that don't seem to fit with what her character would do or what any rationally irrational person would do. When she's presented with an idea of getting the Book of the Ashanti, she doesn't go for it. She doesn't care.
Like, this is something that will give you everything you need. No, I can only do this through murder. It's like...
And murder of the self.
Yeah, murder of the self too. Yeah, because she was willing to kill herself.
Kill herself, yeah. And take her own place.
Okay, can we end this now, please?
We're almost done.
What? Okay, what is it you need?
It's just getting start. It's just getting repetitive.
Fair.
It's like there's many alternate universal selves talking at one moment.
So just if you had the ability to be Wanda, would you have made those choices?
No.
No. I mean, like, maybe, but it's also, she's so, it feels overdramatic at times where she's like, I did like that Strange was, that Strange was acknowledging Wanda was being nice.
Yes. So he did recognize that. Oh, she definitely could have been meaner and done a whole bunch more. And now we're going to experience that. Here's my other thought. Why isn't it in the movie? They did a great job of showing other people's perspectives. If you don't give us a better understanding of why Wanda is acting the way she is and making the choices that she's making, you do not put any gravitas behind her sacrifice at the end and her choices that she makes in the movie.
Yeah, it certainly feels like there's a disconnection between humanizing her. Like, they really wanted to make her a villain with no, like, remorse, and then they gave her remorse.
So what happened to me was they wanted to do Scarlet Witch, evil, no remorse Wanda, driven to madness by the love she has for her children who did not really exist. And yet also, it felt like someone was like, hey guys, maybe we like shouldn't do that. And they're like, oh, okay, fine. We'll give her a little bit of remorse, I guess.
That belies the character of the comics, and it does not fit with the concept of her construction and her constant iterations throughout all of the years.
Wanda.
What they did in this movie is a disservice to the character.
What should they have done?
Given us an understanding of the motivations behind it, told us that perhaps it's the Darkhold itself that has taken hold of her, or there's some chthonic whispering that's going on in the background. Much like she has the ability to sway the minds and memories of others,
it's coming
from somewhere else. If you had just shown us that, said, hey, this woman is not herself because...
I mean, they did say that. Like, the Darkhold changes you.
The Darkhold is... using her grief against her and everyone else.
And
like, if they said
but
that,
show me, don't tell me.
No, they said it, and they showed it with Doctor Strange in his perspective of Doctor Strange, right? But he took on the aspects of it because he used the Darkhold, and so that's going to be for Doctor Strange 3, I suppose. But again, to my point, repeating, I know, but this is saying that if you have ever done anything wrong or you've experienced some sort of addiction,
Doctor Strange 3 is going to be called like Darkhold of Darkness.
I love it.
Or Darkhold and Darkness, because then it's dad instead of mom. Anyways.
Wow. All right. I accept your alteration of wills. Doctor Strange, Darkhold and Darkness.
Darkhold and Darkness. Too
also,
much darkness.
Also, it sounded like Loki was going to be in this, and I don't know why people got that.
Oh, because they constantly kept going to a place that seemed like the end of time. Like there's these weird places, like the places, like the place the between place the between. Worlds, the place at the end of time, and these places all kind of look similar in many ways because they are largely voids.
I just want to say, like, it's never too late, and I really wish that Xavier's words had been true in this movie for Wanda. That's all.
Agreed. Maybe not cut Captain America in half and then also snap that. Dr. Xavier's neck.
Dormammu, I've come to get therapy, please.
any final thoughts?
Get therapy if you watch this by watching any other happier movie. Like, Shang-Chi
I
was
sad,
actually like,
need help.
Shang-Chi was actually like funny and like relatable and didn't have that much grief other than father be bad.
I mean, unless I'm doing a massive rewatch, I don't see myself rewatching this movie. And that's like maybe the biggest criticism of all.
We're probably going to do one at the end of
V4. I will not give you more money because you've disappointed me.
My problem with multiverses.
Yes.
Is that, and this will be my final thought. My problem with multiverses is it constantly belittles and makes moot the characters in our universe and their choices. Because there's just another universe out there that made the other choice. And then now we can access that and we can see those movies. And now we get to see John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic and Charles Xavier, Patrick Stewart come out and be part of this Illuminati. Are we going to get that in our universe?
And are they going to replace Wanda with a non-evil version of Wanda from another multiverse that is now our Wanda? That's my worst. Because I need this version of Wanda.
They just did that with... Gamora. They just did that with Gamora. They killed her off and then they gave her back.
Yeah. I need this
Anyone
version.
Anyone still mad? Like,
yes. I need this version of Wanda to be healed and to have a happy ending. That's what I need personally.
Yeah.
Did you cry at the end?
I didn't cry at the end. I cried when Dr. Xavier said there was hope.
Yeah.
And
wow, both of my parents cried, especially the dead one.
When he said he loved her.
Yeah.
That meant something to me as well. Because he finally got to say that.
Yeah.
And he knew he wasn't going to get to say it.
Her reaction when he said her, when he said that. I know.
It's very Star Wars.
Literally all I'm like, hey, Dr. Xavier, can we get like another X-Men movie? And he's like, no, I'm going to make people happy inside of different movies that I'm not even a main character in.
He's died twice now.
Thank you for joining us on What the Fiction.
Dormammu! Come to podcast
and cries.